It's a new day. You should be scared of Manchester United right now. They have one of the best in terms of sport development in the history of the world. It's a new day. My name is Adeja Adebowale. It's still news, instant sports. And of course, I have the gang with me, airing live on a band radio scope and all the podcasts you can think of are Spotify, YouTube channel, Apple Podcasts, Adbreak, any of those podcasts, you can listen to us live and direct. But I have the gang with me. I have Shei with me, and of course, I have Olaole with me. Guys, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, good day, sporting fans around the world. What a weekend we have. A lot to discuss about. Xavi is doing a lot of magic in Spain. We get there, and United at least ensures that we have a competitive, a top three competition in the Premier League, at least as things stands now.
All right, perfect. She.
Yeah, good day, sport fans, and welcome to the show today. I slightly disagree with Olawale about Javi. I think he's been lucky so far, but I also believe that luck is part of football. Hopefully, he cements his position as a good coach in the La Liga. And also a little bit of good news for the Manchester United fans. Hopefully we kick on from there and we get better to the end of the season. Welcome to the show.
All right, perfect. We're gonna start from best of the rest, and the Formula One team legend is a legend, legendary. Frank Willem, he created the Formula One team, sponsored by Roadmaster in 1979. Died at the prime age of 79 years old. May his soul rest in perfect peace. And of course, something I tag LeBron Palava happened in the course of the week. As I said, afterwards, it has been told that he probably will not play in the NBA again in his life for insulting the king. On our latest thing, that was an intentional elbow from the king. I don't think so. I feel, but maybe I'm a little bit biased, so I will go with Alali on that one. And of course, it looks like Carmelo Anthony came out to say, if you come around, you're not going to go home as a whole. And Russ Westbrook was all pumped up. And you want to give us a little bit more gist about that and what we should expect for the career of as I still watch right now. But this is just all blabs. And to think of it, when he told me he's in his early 20s, that means big time for him. Making that kind of mistake.
Yeah, I hope the guy, I hope the young guy will be forgiven easily by the league because they are like you said, there are some unspoken rules within the league. It is not like there is it's a law, but
Exactly.
a time will come when by team we want to trade you to another team. Or there are some boys you don't want to offend. You don't want to offend Steph Curry. You don't want to offend
Exactly.
LeBron James. These are the good boys of the league. They are the face of the league.
At the face,
They
yeah.
can hardly they can hardly do things wrong. Looking at the incident properly, this is a common what do you call it? This is a common thing that happens when a player is trying to make the free throw, especially the second free throw. Players try to hustle for the
For
rebound,
the rebound,
which
yeah.
counts a lot. Yeah, which counts a lot. And as at that time, Detroit was actually leading.
Yeah.
Looking at the clips very well because I didn't watch the game live. I just stumbled on Twitter and I saw the old LeBron. I said, I still watch trending. So
Bro,
I went back. I went back to watch the clip. I think LeBron intentionally swing his hand. Probably he didn't meant to hit him in the face.
in the
It
face.
looks so, like at that moment like somebody that feels irritated just swing his hand. So, but irrespective of that, I think Isaiah Stewart actually overreacted. It happens at times for the fact that somebody probably hits you and what do you call it? You have a cut doesn't probably
On the face.
means that that could have been the worst play. There are some more dangerous play that might not necessarily result to. the worst injuries in sports might probably not be the worst. Most times, it's not the worst tackle that results to the worst injuries.
Exactly.
At times,
yeah,
we've seen some minor tackles. So I think he took it so far. But on the other hand, too, I think the young guy has probably wants to develop or wants to be known for a hard guy in the league. Because a couple of weeks before that incident, there was an incident between him and Blake Griffin of the Brooklyn Nets. I think he stepped on Blake on one particular incident like that. So I think he's trying to. I don't think he's the most talented player.
Build a bad reputation for himself.
Exactly. He probably trying to build a bad reputation for himself.
That's where he wants
to be known.
Yeah, without a player, talent.
Talent, that's, too, exactly. But there are some school of thought who thinks it might not last in the league, like you said. But let's wait and see how things develop.
Because he's young, I'll say probably he should be forgiven because, you know, this kind of mistakes happen. I hope he learns from it anyways. As a kid,
I hope so too.
And just a piece of advice, if you don't have the talent to back up your aggression or to back up don't be a bad boy. If it was maybe a Kevin, a Devin Booker, or even LaMelo Ball, or Lonzo Ball, they can do that and get away with it. They have the talent
The talent to back it up.
Look at your brother at the Pacers, Ben Simmons. He has the talent to back it up. James Harden did the same thing when he was with the Rockets. He has the talent to back it up. People still wanted him. They know he's strong.
Exactly.
But they got
him.
If Kyrie comes back tomorrow and say, okay,
some teams will still sign him.
Some teams will still sign Kyrie
because he has talent.
He has the talent, but if you don't, then you should not. You have to walk the talk.
Don't try to be a bad boy when you don't have talent.
Exactly. And of course, Zion is down with COVID. Just guys, keep yourself safe. Make sure you wash your hands and all with the new variant of COVID around right now. And they finished Suns on 16 consecutive wins. One win away from tying their own team mark. And they defeated the New York boys back-to-back. First Knicks, then Brooklyn. we know there's a gulf of talent between the Suns and the Brooklyn Nets. But respect has to be given to the Suns, right? If I'm not mistaken.
The Suns are actually doing fantastically well. Considering the fact that last year, I would say they tend to get to the NBA final for me is a bit of an overachievement on their part. So there is that tendency that they might likely drop a bit this year. You probably look at the Atlanta Hawks. They are not finding things as easy as they had last year. Coupled with the resurgence of teams like the Chicago Bulls, the Washington Wizards, I have my doubts if they could make the playoff. So kudos to the Suns. They walk the talk. They are making us realize that what they did last season was not a fluke. I think we've not given them enough kudos of what they've been able to achieve throughout this season. Probably because a lot of us are carried away with what we are seeing with the Golden State Warriors, which probably we're not really expecting Warriors to be this good,
this early
without. So I think a lot of us, I think when they won 13 games, I saw it in one of the news, like I said, wow. So the Suns have actually.
I'm surprised myself, 16. I'm like, wow.
And my
head has been wrapped around Golden State Warriors all season. And of course,
the part of the Brooklyn Nets, I think they have to be very worried. They are looking like an average team for now. It was supposed to be a big three, but as it stands now, it's looking more like a big one. That's because James Harden is not himself. Whether he has not really recovered psychologically from the hamstring injury sustained last year, or whether he's been affected by the rule change in the NBA, or it's just a drop of form, we don't know. But whichever factor that is responsible for that, it is not looking good for the Nets. Because ideally, the next team is supposed to be a big three. It's not a balanced team. But
yeah, exactly.
But it's a team that the offense, when you have the offensive power of Kyrie, KD, and James Harden, it will overshadow your defense, and hide a lot of deficiency. It's just like exactly. The Barcelona days of the Pep Guardiola era. The way they dominate the ball doesn't make people really look at their defenders individually. Uh-huh, they might not be that. So, but immediately Kyrie is out and James Harden can't perform to his
optimally.
And there is and they have a bad record that most of their wins have come against teams below 500. That is teams that have lost more than what they've won. Most against the same teams, they lost woefully to Chicago Bulls, lost woefully to Golden State Warriors, lost woefully to Milwaukee Bucks. The only meaningful team that probably they defeated was Philadelphia 76ers, and that was even due to the bad call at the way Doc Rivers actually managed the game, because Doc Rivers didn't manage the game very well. So at this stage, they are not looking good, and the East is quite better. Miami Heat is better than what they were last season.
With the Wizards, Tyler is very good. Tyler is back and doing very
exactly.
Well.
So they are looking like a team that might likely lose in the second round of the playoff again this year. So it's not really looking good for
Don't worry, Ali. Kyrie is going to come back. We're going to beg Kyrie. We're going to send the chief imam of Saudi Arabia to Kyrie to ask him. At this rate, Kyrie needs to be pacified. Otherwise, and players like Blake Griffiths need to stand up and be counted. Honestly,
yes,
they need to stand up and be counted. But you can't push everything. I think we have to give
kudos to LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, he retired towards the end of last season. Wasn't part of their playoff because of ass-related issues, but he was able to come back. And I think he has been their second best player this season.
Wow.
Even away off the bench, at times when he even starts, he's been able to make meaningful impact. But they need James Harden to play like a superstar.
It will with time. And I wish Kyrie will come back as well. I miss Kyrie, honestly. I will not lie to you. Shay, to the boxing world, Lopez versus Cabroso. The name even sounds scary. Cabroso sounds like, you know, like a bomb, you know. I feel scared talking about him right now. You want to tell us a little bit about
like one boxer from Ojo Elegba?
I'm telling you.
Judge Cabroso is a Greek, I think Australian, the mix Greek Australian boxer. Has been in the game for a while. Has been a sparring partner to the great legend that just retired a few weeks ago. Talking about the Pac-Man, Manny Pacquiao. And I had a fight with Teofimo Lopez last weekend. Apparently, Lopez was the outright favorite in that bout. Yes, because he was a defending champion, about holding the title for the WBA, IBF, WBO, and the Ring Magazine lightweight titles. Wow. And everybody was looking up to him defending those belts. Us looking forward to probably an undisputed bout between him and Devin Haney, who holds the WBC lightweight heavyweight. But it seems everybody was jumping the gun. Cambosos had a different plan for the guy. The pre-match conference and the pre-match build-up for this battle, Lopez already, you know, said a lot of things, said he was going to take out Judge Cambosos in the first round.
Wow.
So it was already a lot to look out for. And he actually came into that bout with a plan, because he threw everything to take the guy out in the first round, second round, third round. He actually won those three rounds. But what happened is that Kambosos had the opportunity to come back and started taking him apart gradually. But I still think all round the bout is actually quite close because Lopez scored like two knockdowns, Kambosos scored one. But all round technicality, I think George Kambosos landed more clean shots than Lopez. And at the end of the day, the judges gave it to Kambosos split decision, even though Lopez had a different opinion about that. Post bout interview, he came out saying he won the fight. In fact, the referee made a mistake by raising his hand first the announcer was announcing the bout. So that caused a little bit of confusion.
I have a question. I have a reservation actually. I feel that the issue of using judges in boxing matches it's I don't know, for me it's unacceptable. What's the basis for, realistically, there are just three people watching the match or watching the bout or whatever you want to call it, and they come out to say 197 177 190. There's always discrepancies between the three of them. They never align. Two will be for what. So it's even easy for you to just bribe one of them or two of them and they will give you the bout. It's going to be, of course, you do your own parts and it's going to be so easy. I feel, I start to be corrected. I feel once they are scoring the points, it should be showing live. It should be shown live to people to see what they are scoring. So at the end of the day, we can hold them accountable because it's so discreet. It looks like courtism to me, if you ask me.
Okay.
I start to be corrected.
Okay, Debo. Let me just throw a little bit of light on scoring in boxing. Okay.
Yeah.
Number one, we have three judges, and they score according to whoever dominates the bout, the round, and they score it 9-10. Now, if you score a knockdown, you win 10-8, not 10-9, right?
Okay.
If you score two knockdowns, you win 10-7. So for every knockdown, you win additional points against your opponent. So by the time they had everything together, that's when you see the likes of 100 and something to 100 and something. Okay. And another part of it is that there's technicality in boxing, right? Okay. When you score a particular type of a point in terms of the hook, the jabs, you score more points. Right.
Oh, wow.
If you are a heavy hand fighter and you're unable to land your heavy shots to take your opponent down, but your opponent keeps getting you on a jab, which is similar to what we saw during the Sanchez and Fiajagba's bout. Jabba was unable to score the big. What's it called? Jabs. But Sanchez was not fighting to take him down, but was fighting to pick points. So there's technicality in boxing. Even jabs to the body, they call them body shots. They are also one of the shots that count.
The body shot count towards the points as well. Oh wow.
Yes, because if you are getting your body shots right, definitely your opponent will keep getting weak. And as long as you are doing that, you are dominating the fight. So if you dominate the fight, the judge can score you 10-9 in that particular round. So that is the way they score it from round 1 to round 10, unless you have a knockdown. And of course, when it comes to you knocking the person out totally.
Yeah.
So boxing is a technical sport. The judges are there to do their work. And you as a fighter, you are there to protect yourself at all times. If you notice, the referees will tell them before they start the boxing, protect yourself at all times. We've gone over these rules in the dressing room.
Yeah.
And make sure you protect yourself and get on with the fight. So boxing is a technical game. I believe the judges are there to actually do
okay,
their
so
work.
you
I
believe
believe in what
you
they
believe
do
in
most
the
of the
judges,
times.
right? Okay.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. Okay. Okay. I can remember one fight that I don't believe the judge, but I'm not allowed to say it on radio. we're going to short break right now. When we come back, we'll be reviewing the Champions League before we move up to the Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea and Manchester United share points on the day. Don't go anywhere, guys. We'll be right back. So flying straight to the Champions League, looks like Barcelona is going to be playing the Europa League. Last time they played in Europa League was pre-Ronaldinho. If I'm not mistaken, that should be 2002 or 2003. It's been a long time, but they might be playing.
2004.
Exactly, 2003, 2004. Yes. They might be playing the Europa League this season, courtesy of that new draw against Benfica. So they need to win their next game against Bayern Munich. Away against Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich, as expected, defeated Dynamo Kiev 2-1. Manchester United, who else but Ronaldo? Sancho scoring his first goal for Manchester United, defeated Villarreal away from home. 2-0 and qualifying for the next round. Young boys, that was a very good match, if you ask me. If not the best match of the day, played a 3-3 draw against Atlanta. Atlanta just keep coming back. 2-1, 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, and they came back 3-3. He ended in the match as well. Lille versus Salzburg, Lille 1-1-0. Sevilla defeated Wolfsburg 2-0. Chelsea whitewashed Juventus 4-0. That was some revenge mission, Lali, if you ask me. Malmo versus Zenit ended 1-1. RB Leipzig defeated Club Brugge 5-0. Nkolo looking overtly sharp. Lali, I'm going to ask you, when this guy left, I think Lali is frozen. Okay, Lali.
No, I'm here. Okay. I'm with you.
Nkolo, when he left PSG, nobody knew was going to be this great. And this points out again to the genius or the practical legacy or build that Ragnik left at RB Leipzig. He keeps poaching up all these players from obscure places. This was just a tiny 17 or 18 year old boy. That refused to sign his contract with PSG, came to RB Leipzig and is doing wonderful. Well, now he's been linked to Real Madrid. Malali,
do you agree with me? I agree with you, but I want to even take you back to, there was a time we were having a conversation on one of these WhatsApp group when people tried to make it look like, as far as you are talented, your talent will show. Or that nothing else matters. There is nothing between the lines.
Yeah.
It's not, these things happen. We've seen it. We've seen some players not doing well in some club. Okay, look at Sebastian Haller. He was very great with Eintracht Frankfurt.
Yeah,
doing well.
He
came to the Premier League with West Ham.
Mm-hmm.
I felt probably timing was not on his side.
On his side, yeah.
Probably that West Ham team wasn't as good, and he couldn't really settle down well. Just to think of it, if he's presently playing in this West Ham team, is he going to be that bad? Now he's in Ajax, he's doing well. You might say, okay, he's scoring, he's doing well in Ajax because the league is not that difficult. What about the Champions League?
Exactly.
So I think the same thing applies to, we've seen some of these things happening. Players struggling in some club, taking a move to some, taking their, what do you call it, taking the bet on themselves. Some other league, and at times that is why players need to have very good advisors. There are some teams that are good for your development, development as a player. There are some teams that is not just good. If you want to develop as a player, there are some teams that are not meant for you. So you need to know that. You need to figure that out at a very early part of your career. Of just like our own Kelechi Iheanacho.
Yeah,
I wish he has probably moved to FC Porto when Master was sounding him out then, or probably Ayat, probably it could have turned out to be a different ballgame for him.
For
Nkoku, honestly speaking, nobody saw this coming, but the guy is really, really making his mark and making a lot of noise.
And of course, Sebastian Haller actually broke, set a new record, 9 goals in the group stage in the Champions League for the first time. Ajax defeated Besiktas 2-1. Man City defeated 2-0 against each other, but it looks like 1-0 is better than the other. City came out on top, 2-1 in favor of City. Sporting Lisbon, thanks to Porto, they defeated Dortmund 3-1. Dortmund just gets woeful and woeful by the day. And of course, Atletico Madrid lost at home at the Wanda Stadium against an Ibrahimovic-inspired AC Milan. Inter defeated Shakhtar Donetsk 2-0. Liverpool defeated Porto. What a wonderful goal by Thiago Alcantara, 2-0. And of course, Benzema shook off the sentence that he got earlier in the day and scored to defeat Sheriff away from home 3-1. That's the Champions League right now. But Ali, everything looks set for something. It looks difficult for other teams as well. Okay. I should ask Shay this question anyways. It looks a little bit a mixed campaign, if you ask me, for Atletico Madrid especially. A mixed campaign for them. They probably go to end up in the Europa League or the Champions League, either one. But is there anything else that they can possibly do to take this thing back? I can't see any difference in the players that we had in the past. There's no difference in the players that we've had in the past that did very well for the same Atletico Madrid, same coach, same Diego Simeone on his black on black, and they've done it pretty well over the years. What could they do right now, like to turn this thing around? Like, it looks somehow. I feel there's something missing in Atletico Madrid. It's not a bad team, if you ask me. It's not in any form, way or fashion.
Shay. Yeah, I think they are not having the best of season in the Champions League for this season. No doubt about that. Even in the league, a little bit of struggles there and there. Even though they are still, putting themselves together to still keep up with Real Madrid in the league, but in the Champions League they've been quite woeful. The bad form they started with this season, it seems they kept it in the Champions League, and they've been really struggling to get goals. Also, we should not forget about the two-legged matches that they had against Liverpool, which I think the red cards totally messed up the game as a neutral, but I still think those matches, they could have gotten some points out of those matches, zero. So that is what actually is putting them in this present situation. Mm. But going forward, I still don't think that it's a deal for them. They can go to Porto and get a point. And get a result point.
They need
a convincing win. And they need a help from Liverpool to beat AC Milan. Yeah. So that's now the situation they found themselves. Wow. I think Diego Simeone is up to the task. A lot of good players in that team, if you ask me. We've always known that the problem we have with Atletico is the way they play. It's not that they don't have the players. Exactly. So in this kind of situation, I expect him to be the offensive Atletico. That's what I want to see on the day. Of course, we are not saying Porto is a pushover, but I think Atletico as a team and probably a coach strong enough to get a result in Porto. Then let's see what happens between Liverpool and AC Milan.
All right, because it's funny that they are bottom of their table. with a negative goal difference as well. That's really funny and sad. And of course, we'll move to the Premier League right now. We'll start with the first game of the weekend, Arsenal versus Newcastle. Olali, I want you to speak to one thing. We see Arsenal is coming back gradually, so I don't want us to talk so much about Arsenal and their resurgence or their non-resurgence, whatever English you want to use for that. But I don't see, do you think Arsenal now has, they have a particular way, a style of football they play right now? Or is it still about inshallah and vibes?
Well, I think what I've observed about Arsenal Arteta, against the team of similar talent or teams lower than them, they tend to play, dominate, expansive, try to make use of the whole width of the field, and probably get results. I think defensively they are getting better, and probably that's the reason why we've been seeing these clean sheets coming frequently. But against the where their problem as at so far this season, and what we can see, where they have problem is playing against the top three, the Liverpool, Man City, and the Chelsea. Mm-hmm. I think those are the three games. If you remove the Brentford loss, those are the only three games they've lost, and they lost the three games woefully. And if you look at those three games, they've struggled to impose their style of play. Rather, they revert back, or it is the pressure of the opponent that made them look like they just want to play on the counter. So it seems they have like two style, an expansive style of play against team of similar or lower talent, and a more of a conservative attack approach against a big team. I think that's what we have observed so far. But so far, so good. I think what matters most for them is the ability to get results against team they are supposed to beat.
Exactly.
But now,
that's
what matters for now. Exactly. Then they can take it up from there.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Thank you very much. Shay, Liverpool wants to kill everybody before Mane and Salah leaves in January. And they did that again against Southampton convincingly. They could have scored 10 goals against Southampton. I don't know how these guys do it. They are wicked. Let me just put it that way. Salah, Diego Jota, everybody was on top shape, on top form. Even Thiago Alcantara scored a wicked deflected shot as well on the day. If Sané and Salah were not leaving in January, is it safe to say that this Liverpool team is the top contender for the league title?
Yeah, I think obviously they are a top contender. We can't play with that fact. And even losing Salah, Mane, and probably what's the name of the midfielder Naby Keita to the
African Shores Cup
to the AFCON, is still not casting in stone that they won't be one of the contenders at the end of the season. We still have to wait to see what happens. Why? Because if the other teams fail to pick up points during this period, we are still talking about the same thing. If you understand what I mean. Uh-huh. So as far as I'm concerned, they are up there with Man City and Chelsea, which is also showing a lot of, promises this season in terms of the league, winning the league. So obviously, I think Liverpool is there. And also, don't forget that Klopp actually has a style of play. All he needs to do is to bring in players to operate in the same way, even though there will definitely be a difference in quality. We cannot push that aside. But obviously, it's not that they will have like maybe a run of 3 defeats or 4 defeats. That won't happen to Liverpool. So let's still keep them as a top contender for the league. And it's better to think that way so that you prepare better. You win your home games. Mm-hmm. And you know that whatever happened at the end of the league, you've tried your best. Yes.
All right, perfect.
I think I want to ask something. I think so far, so good this season. Offensively, they are the best team in the league.
Yeah. They created offensively, they are the best team in the league. A new record scoring 39 goals in 13 games.
I think where they need to tighten it up a bit is in their defense. And again, you expect this with the kind of style of play, the high pressing. Yes. So, of course, there will be some bit of gaps at the back. So, like I've said before, I think. I don't see them. Ideally, they should be a top contender, probably ahead of Chelsea and probably tied with City based on the experience. But I think if they can keep the distance between them and Chelsea and Liverpool, City very, very close during the African Nations Cup, then they have a chance. But it will take a lot of work from Jota, Firmino. And you know, Firmino naturally is not that guy that picks up. We need to be very aggressive in front of goal, at least for them, because it's going to, and you know, there are a lot of, the number of games that will be played between now and February is going to be crazy. Yeah, there will be a lot of midweek games, and you need the guys
to be firing.
You need all your squad.
Yeah, exactly.
All your big players.
Exactly.
To navigate that period.
They'll pray that Senegal and Egypt does not qualify from the first round. that way they'll be safe.
I also noticed something in Jurgen Klopp this season. I noticed that he has rotated his team quite a lot. And that gives me the insight that he's actually preparing for January.
Exactly.
I think
Minamino Chamberlain. Minamino,
he can step into the
it looks a bit settled, his first season where he struggled. It looks a bit settled. He could give them a bit of mix in the attack,
with exactly.
Firmino and this other guy. And Origi is always there to help them out.
The
good thing about Origi is he has accepted his fate to
as
come
a backup player, exactly.
Yeah, it's not going to cause trouble in the team, and he's ready. Anytime
he's
ready to perform.
To perform, exactly.
So let's see how far it could help them during that period.
All right, perfect. And of course, Brighton and Hove refused to score. No thanks to their striker, Mapao, who decided to lose empty chances. I don't know who's worse this weekend, Mapao, Aubameyang. Or Timo Werner. I don't know. I can't even tell the difference between the three.
Or Fred.
Fred. I don't want to say his name on radio. That's a bad language. So I won't say that. So Fred is just Fred. Just put Fred is aside, you know. Fred, no. Fred is in a world of his own.
His own.
Of course. The battle of the legend, Steven Gerrard versus Patrick Vieira, ended again in a victory for Steven Gerrard. Second victory in a row. They are looking flying with the wing backs flying. Matt Cash scoring one of the goals, and of course, Mankin scoring the other. It's and a consolatory goal by Wells, but Koyate from the defense is now a central defender. Because I said defense, you might be confused. That Koyate is a midfielder. He's not a central defender. As a matter of fact, for Crystal Palace. And of course, Norwich City played a drab 0-0 draw against Wolverhampton. Raul Jimenez refused to score after I paid so much for him. Brentford defeated Everton 1-0. Leicester City defeated Watford 4-2. And of course, City were Not so convincing on the night. They defeated West Ham 2-1. Wonderful goal, consolatory goal by Lanzini. And City could not play their game against West Ham. West Ham looks like they had their antidote. The tiki-taka gengen football could not be played precisely as Pep Guardiola would have wanted. And that was disrupted. So I think there's a tweak to what David Moyes did to avoid City getting more comfortable than ordinary. And of course, to the wonderful game of the night, was Chelsea versus Manchester United. I'll let you take the lead on this one. Number one is, why do people keep making the same mistake? I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer made the same mistake a couple of weeks ago. 64th minutes, that was against Leicester City, if I'm not mistaken.
Against Everton.
Old Trafford. Against Everton, and he decided to bring Ronaldo in after 60-something minutes, after 61 minutes. You were leading 1-0. Jorginho has already, I don't know, how on earth did a professional footballer, someone that has been acclaimed to the throne of
the best player in the world,
not control the ball. That's an indictment.
The lapse of concentration. Yeah, of course, it happens. Let me just give him that one.
Okay. So I should not castigate him too much.
Yes, don't castigate.
But if he had been nominated for one football of the year, you can't make that kind of mistake and get away with it.
Fans can do that.
Only Chelsea. but realistically, what was Fred thinking, Shay? What was Fred thinking when they had that opportunity?
I think
he doesn't have a clue.
He doesn't find himself in that position too often. So he was confused what to do with the ball. He could have dragged the defender to himself by taking one or two, movements or touches, and free up the guy so that he can pass. But he decided to chip the ball. When was the last time we saw Fred try to chip a keeper? I don't know.
Shea and Foros will follow my friend, and I agree with Olawale that Fred should not be God. I can tell you categorically that some players should not be playing for Manchester United. Fred is number one.
Sincerely. Yeah, I agree.
Fred is number one. He should not be playing for Manchester United. He should not. Realistically, in any word that I want to talk about, we are not talking about West Ham or Everton or Spurs. This is United. It's not even City. United is not in the League of City. United and Liverpool are in a world of their own, closely followed by Arsenal. Apart from that, everybody, I don't care about your achievement over the past 10 years. You can't
the time of the how big the clubs are.
Exactly. Exactly. You cannot play for United United. I'm pretty sure Carrick could be like, wow.
He knows. I think he knows.
Who does that? And Ali, I'm gonna bring you to something. Start of last year, Chelsea looked like a team. Start of this year, 2021, right? Yeah. This year, Chelsea look like a team that does not know what they are doing. And suddenly, in the course of this season, Chelsea have conceded just 4 goals. Over the first 50 games of Tuchel, they kept 31 clean sheets, conceded a measly 13 goals. At this point, the best I will say was in 2004-2005 season. I believe that was the first season of Mourinho, where Chelsea conceded 15 goals. And has been touted that if they continue like this, by the end of the season, Chelsea would concede just 13 goals, hence breaking their own record. And we know defense win you titles. You can score so many goals as much. But if you keep conceding, that's why Arsenal went 38 matches unbeaten, but at 12 draws. This is top notch. It's not playing an ultra defensive football. we cannot say he's not in the mode of Mourinho, Diego Simeone. Otherwise, I would not even like him. They play a good football, and quote and unquote. But this is top notch, if you ask me, defensively.
Yeah, it's coaching. That's what coaching does. And kudos to Frank Lampard. Frank Lampard and the people behind the scene.
Okay.
I think they did some decent signing, fantastic job by signing some very good players before Thomas Tuchel actually took over. Probably I just feel either one of Kai Havertz or Timo Werner should have been signed, not the two of them. My own opinion. I think one of them have been signed. I think it is coaching. And at times, what you do as a coach is looking at the resources you have at hand, that should be able to guide you in terms of formation. It might not really be in terms of team philosophy. You can still play the same philosophy with 3-5-2, 4-4-2, or this. But I think the kind of players you have should be what that will determine the shape at which you want to play. If the Chelsea team looks very vulnerable when they play four at the back, they seem not to get the right combination in terms of the midfield combination, the midfield three. Do they want to play box to box? Who plays that? The wingers were a bit disappointing too. Ziyech and Pulisic, so much of injuries.
Yeah.
So I think defensively is settled for the 3-5-2. I think suits most of the defenders they have in their in the team, and with what do you call the talent of the people like Cesar, Luis James, Ben Chilwell, and Alonso. It makes it very easy for them to play the wing back position. In fact, this season, the average position of Ben Chilwell has been his average position is half of the field. So that's to show you how advanced he has been before this unfortunate injury. So that's the effect of coaching. I don't think they are perfect the way they are. I still think they are attack-wise, they are still not there. If you look at where their goals have been coming from, majority of their goals have been coming from their defenders.
Yeah.
And so the production we've not really seen the attack coming to the party, which I think should concern them, because I don't think the defenders can sustain
Olali,
this level of scoring.
Olali, if you allow me to chip in something, it's not going to happen. The attack will not come to the party.
Like I'm saying, I don't think the defenders can continue. It's just like you. It's just like a LeBron James shooting 50% from 3 points from the beginning of the season. You know it's not sustainable. That is not in.
But the attack will not come in. And you know why the attack will not come in?
And that could be their shots coming towards
exactly,
the end of the season.
The attack will not come in unless they want to play a little bit of more direct football. Because it would not stop playing five defenders. Those two guys that will play in front of the back five, they can't guarantee you goals. They can't guarantee you good creativities. That's why you see Reece James, Chilwell, Alonso, whoever is playing, those are the guys that will guarantee you the assists for whoever is playing off front.
So it probably will not happen.
I start to be corrected anyway, but I think it will not happen.
But I think if the assist keeps coming from the wings, especially from the likes of James,
Thank you.
That is actually where I'm going to. If the crosses keeps coming, I think Lukaku should be able to score
that's
75 of these chances. That's why I said,
unless they decide to go direct.
You know, Debo, I think another thing we need to consider is was at the beginning of the season, Reece James started very well. You can remember that Lukaku goal against Arsenal. I think he provided that square play or that cross. Then there was that suspension. Then there was that injury. There was the time Colon or Odoi was playing as the wing back, and I don't really trust Odoi as that wing back. I think let's see more of Alonso and Reece James with Lukaku in front. I understand what you're saying about the midfield. The midfield doesn't have enough creativity
No, they don't.
To guarantee goals up front. But let's see what those wing backs can actually do.
Yeah.
But in today's game, I think today's game, what United were able to do was they have a plan, just like you said before, before this, they had a plan, and the plan was to disrupt Chelsea, the flow, pin down the wing backs, don't make them more, because that is where
they did it perfectly well.
But I think when they win the ball back most times, making use of it is where their own problem to lie.
When you have Fred in the middle of the park, what do you want to do? No, realistically, when you have a player like this is a player that cannot, that is not supposed to tie the shoelaces of Sambi Lukonga, a 20-year-old guy in Arsenal. This is someone that cannot make a 5-yard pass.
Like I said, I think for United, from the hierarchy, top hierarchy, up to the fans, I think they will need there will be a bit of a reality check. In as much as coaching has been a problem, I think recruitment has been the bigger issue for United. No matter how the tactics the new coach is going to deploy, if you are still going to use the same set of players, are they going to buy into that? Me and you know how difficult and demanding high pressing is.
Yeah,
when Jurgen Klopp joined Liverpool, then even initially we could see what he was trying to do. Like this guy is building something.
But those guys will not play.
If you look at most of their games after a big game against City, against United, against Liverpool, against Arsenal, when they tend to play very well, they tend to struggle the following game because it's very, very demanding to press high. And even in some of those games, they could do it successfully for like 60 minutes. The last 30 minutes,
they'll lose very tired. Exactly. So,
with this United, these are spoof, baby players that we have in United. Those ones that the most people are complaining every time. Yeah. And those guys really...
It's a reality check. And that leads me to my next question. And at the start of the show, I said, this is probably the best, one of the best, if not the best, industry of football that builds up institution. This is not just a coach. We've seen him done it in Offham, did it with RB Salzburg, did it with RB Leipzig. It was at Lokomotiv Moscow building an institution for them. This is an institutional coach or technical person. Technical director. He's not just a coach. This is the same coach that built Jurgen Klopp, Thomas Tuchel, Nagelsmann, Marco Rose. You know,
Marco Rose,
he has been there, done that, did that. We know. I'm not happy because I'm an Arsenal fan, because now United is in the right direction. It's not only going to set United right for the next 6 months, it's going to build a working blueprint for United that they can use over the next 20 years or more. That goes down to player recruitment. And Olari, I'm going to tell you something. Look at RB Salzburg, for instance. Not RB Leipzig, RB Salzburg. Sedomani came from it. The Austrian club. Sedomani came from it. Haaland came from it. Minamino did, amongst other players that came for that same thing.
They have a starting Adeyemi now.
Exactly. So you can imagine their recruitment process. They just don't buy players. They just don't build players. They just don't graduate players. They graduate players that will become stars in the future. And that's because of a working principle and a blueprint. That's why I'm not happy for Manchester United, because I'm an Arsenal fan.
But if
I'm a Manchester United fan, I will be so happy right now.
Like rightly pointed out, there are probably two type of top coaches, and that's why there are some coaches probably I will not really judge. I will not really judge them with how many trophies they actually won. No, their own body of work could be the way they build institution, just like you said. This guy, even though yes, there were some financial assistance, but Offenham, it was one that beat Offenham, the Offenham of Ivasevic,
Dan Baba. Yeah.
from nowhere, from a, like from a regional league team. The same thing with RB Leipzig. So you could see the, what do you call it? I think for United and the fans, it is high time to be. The quick fix will not work. That's
No. It's not going to work right now.
It's not going to work. We've seen it.
But Olale, for all you know, United might win the Champions League. For all you know. Take it's it possible. From me. It's possible. For all you know. You know why I said so? They have a certain player that he does not perform unless he's on the biggest stage. Don't throw challenge that team. If tomorrow they say, because we'll be hearing it in the press right now, Ronaldo cannot play Gengen football. Gengen pressing. That's the word. Gengen pressing. He has pressed just 17 times across the season. When he does, he's at 17.5% success rate. When Greenwood, Rashford, and the rest played, he was at 75% success rate. Don't be surprised when Ronaldo starts pressing like a madman. He's 37 years. He's going to be 37 years old in February.
Yeah, I
but
think
don't,
I won't take.
Won't be surprised. So I feel realistically, it might look like a long-term, so it's a long-term solution. It's a long-term. There's no short fix to it. But I would not be surprised if United end with a trophy, at least one trophy this season. I would
like,
not be surprised.
Look, I think I would like to hear from Sheyusu, but I think from my own, my own summary is this. Number one, the 6 months is okay. I think I would prefer somebody like that more as a technical director rather than a coach.
Because
a technical director gives him more, what do you call it? It broadens, what do you call it? The level of
all process, all process.
The process, you understand? Process, and United has actually been lacking that because we over-relied on a one-man show for 20-something years. So it was very difficult to build institution that can work in United. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy with the 2 years consultancy they've added to it, which I think would do a lot of background work for United. That's my own opinion. I think for now...
Shay, what about you? What's your own opinion?
Good.
Shay?
Yeah, I think... I lean towards Olawale's submissions because really next 6 months is quite it's quite short of a time for Ragnik to actually create something big. But the point is, the 2 years consultancy makes a lot of sense. United have always shied away from getting a proper technical director that is going to make footballing decisions, not commercial decisions. And I think at this point, we are getting that. So I won't be surprised if United are going to be getting another coach by the end of the season, but Rangnick being the person that makes the decisions when it comes to footballing decisions in terms of, Now, I remember what Klopp mentioned just before this weekend in the build up to this weekend. He said he's not so happy that a fantastic coach is coming to England, especially to Manchester United. But he mentioned something. He said he's a very, very good coach. If that you know, they understand the fundamentals of football. But the good thing for the likes of the other teams, talking about the Liverpool, the Man City, the Chelsea, is that it doesn't, there's the opportunity for him to train with his team for a long time to instill his type of, what's it called? A type of philosophy into them is not there because the season has started. He just need to train with them for maybe 1 week and there's a game, half of a week and there's a game. And we're entering into the December period, which is the football festival for English football.
Yeah.
So therefore, I don't think we'll be expecting something fantastic from Rangnick at the moment. But the underlining point is going to build football, proper football, what's it called? Blueprint, like you mentioned, for Manchester United. And at this moment, that is what Manchester United needs, and that is what I'm sure they are going out for.
I wish Arsenal got him though. I wish we did. That was a smart.
You guys have Wenger. Go back to Wenger.
Whoever Arsenal is going to tell us to play football every 2 days. whoever did that thing for United did very well. That's a good one. And of course, in the Italian league, Inter Milan gradually coming up, defeated Venezia 2-0. Juventus continue their woeful run. There's no Ronaldo to blame around this time. That's how they defeated them 1-0. Realistically, did you guys see All or Nothing Juventus version? After the game against Porto that they lost, I posted it on our social media, and Ronaldo was actually crying. And I'm like, yo, you've won 5 Champions League titles in your career. Why are you crying just because you lost against Porto? I don't understand the level of competition in that guy's brain. Milan lost at home against Sassuolo 3-1. I wish Kachi was here. I wanted to ask him some questions. I don't know why Tonali is not starting for AC Milan, and why they keep starting a 40-year-old Zlatan Ibrahimovic as their striker. It might be the Serie A, but Leo can actually do a better job starting, and Zlatan coming in at some point in the game. And Frank Essia, that wants to move to Manchester United, was on the bench as well. So I wanted to ask those questions. I wanted to ask Kashi those questions, but of course, he has run away because he ran because they lost. And of course, Napoli defeated Lazio 4-0. Our own Victor Osimhen is out injured for the next 3 months, so he's unavailable. But Dres Mertens, Martins did a wonderful job winning Lazio 4-0. Murillo, I don't like saying Roma. Murillo won 1-0 against Torino.
Olale. Tammy Abraham.
Tammy Abraham. Olale. Barcelona won for the first time away this season, 3-1 against Villarreal. Looks like a new coach syndrome, or is it trying to get back into the groove?
For now, I will probably want to go with the safest one, which is the new coach syndrome. Because if you watch the first game last week against Espanyol,
yeah,
which I think they won 1-0.
1-0, Memphis Depay.
They were very lucky.
Even though, yes,
there seems to be trying to create some kind of, in terms of the way, the shape, the style of play, it's quite different from what we saw under Koeman. But yeah, it's still not, I think they were very lucky in that game. In the Champions League against Benfica, I think Benfica should have won.
Exactly.
I think Benfica should have won. They had a lot of decent chances.
Decent chances.
But then, there were spells in the game whereby you look like what the team is missing. They're just missing one quality player.
Quality player.
Probably to unlock the other part of the team, to make the other guys better. So, and this weekend, we're able to win 4-1, even though, 3-1. Even though it was 1-1 going into the 82-83 minutes.
Yeah.
But now let's see how far it goes. I still like she rightly pointed at the beginning when I said Javi magic. A bit of luck and probably the new coach syndrome has been working for them. If it's now sustainable, if they can make it a habit over the course of the season and probably start training, then we'll start taking notes about what the coach is doing right. But for now, let's keep our fingers crossed.
Okay. And I don't know where Barcelona is getting the money from, but they say they want to buy Fran Torres for 52 million. Is it 52 million or 42 million pounds? And I'm wondering where they're going to get the money from.
Don't be surprised. Who is in charge of City? They have two ex-Barcelonas, an ex-sporting director. And
okay, so they might structure the payment and pay it over.
They might structure the payment that they will pay it for the next 10 years. Okay. What about that?
Okay. Otherwise, I'm wondering, why not keep Messi?
Why is it that it's only City player they are targeting? Those are the only people they can. Of course, Guardiola.
Yeah. They targeted Raheem Sterling as well. No. Yeah, that's true.
The Arab doesn't need the money.
Yeah, they don't. Arab money, too much money. Cadiz lost at home against Atletico Madrid 4-1. Real Madrid won against Sevilla. Looks like Madrid is primed to win the league if things continue this way. Shay, am I correct, Shay?
Yeah, very correct. Apart from that, they have keep players in form. People you would have said that this season probably they are still developing. They are actually coming to the party and performing very well. Apart from, you know, last season it was almost like a Benzema show, to be sincere.
Yeah.
But this time around, we've seen Vinicius that last season we thought was just a, you know, a kid that you can just, you know, forgive him for anything that he does.
I remember a Champions League match where Benzema told Mendy, said, "I swear on my mother, he's playing against
no
us.
Pass. No pass to him.
Yes, I
totally remember last season.
That was last season.
And imagine that. Yeah, imagine that the young man is a key player in the Real Madrid team for this season, at least for now. And that is really, really propelling that team into greater heights. I still think by March, April, we should. I know he's going to win the La Liga.
I doubt if it's going to be a team from the Catalonia. Anyways, I doubt it. That will not happen. It has to be in Madrid.
Most likely.
Most likely. All right. I wanted to say something else, but I can't remember what I want to say right now. Yeah, of course, Messi had an hat-trick of assists. But the question is, and my question, Olali, before we go on the show today, is the fact that at the point, everybody was crazy about who their own crushes, Ronaldo, Messi. And people tend to say Messi needs to move out of Barcelona for anybody to consider him serious as the greatest of all time. And my own argument against that is Messi plays in La Liga. He has scored more Premier League. He has scored more goals against Arsenal than most Premier League strikers. So he does not need to come to Premier League to prove himself. But in the course of the week, I found out something. Messi is finding it difficult to adapt to the style of Pochettino. Everything does not have to go through you. But she doesn't want to play a counter-attacking football with Mbappe, Neymar, the way he plays. And it should not be about Messi. Messi should adapt to that. And that leads me to the question that... So that means if Messi had gone out pretty earlier in his career to other places where they don't play tiki-taka football, he would have struggled. We've seen that with Argentina. I'm not denying his brilliance. I'll be a fool to do that. But of course, we've seen this in the course of his short career with PSG. Is this more about adaptation? Like, is he in an adaptive phase to a new footballing philosophy? I know Ronaldo will not take so long to adapt anyways, but I want your opinion quickly before we go.
Yes, I think it's a combination of many things. Just like I was saying about the United team of having players that doesn't probably naturally fit in together. PSG, even with their doing this Zlatan period, the Cavani period, there's always something missing about the way it looks like. I've always said, the word I normally use is that they lack soul. It's like a team that lacks soul. But that aside, we can't dispute the fact that Messi is actually struggling to settle. I don't think if he has actually probably left for another team earlier in his career, he will struggle like this. I think probably it's not like making an excuse for him. He has been in Barcelona since probably age 10. People are quite different. Like somebody like me personally, I find it hard settling in a new environment. It's something I find hard to do. Some people fit into a new environment easily. So I just think a combination of other things. If as much as him is struggling, even Pochettino as a coach is struggling to find a winning formula on his own part. So we can add everything together and Messi will be brilliant in any Arsenal team. He will be brilliant in some other team. I don't think it should necessarily be that everything should evolve around him. If the game flows, the ball will find you. That's one thing about good players. It's going to find good player at the right position. But when the ball doesn't flow, it's going to be a big problem. I think it's more of a structure of the squad. I think they've not really gotten the right balance. And the only time I agree with you as part the Messi thing is, I think now they try to shift him to the right, or where does this play?
Yeah,
I don't think is that very comfortable with a game like before. So it could be a combination of everything. But like I said before, he joined PSG. I just don't think that move will do much to his legacy. And like we are saying, it's probably taking away from his legacy so far. I just hope he could turn it around, because as much as United is struggling, whatever Ronaldo's thinks, President thinks is United is adding to his legacy, because that team looks like a team that can't do anything, even for Ronaldo.
All right. Shay, do you agree with Talale before we close up the show?
Yeah, I think I agree with Olawale one way or the other. But I think Pochettino is probably asking too much of Messi with his positioning. Messi is also 34, 35 years. Exactly. I think he has lost some of the speed.
He needs
to find a position for Messi to just dictate the play. And I think that's the best position Messi will fit in that PSG team. Talking about Ronaldo, Ronaldo's move to Manchester United, him scoring in all the games in the Champions League, and Juventus playing the way they play has actually given Ronaldo quite a lot of edge when we're talking about Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. But he's still there for us to see what will happen to Lionel Messi at the end of this season.
All right. That does not change my opinion anyways. Messi is still the second best
player
of all time. It does not change my opinion, but it just takes a little bit out of him that can you do this outside your comfort zone.
Comfort zone, yeah.
Yeah, should be able to do it in other places and do it well. And let's see and respect you. That's the wrap. Thank you guys for your time. Thank you guys for staying tuned with us. Please ensure you live stream us, you listen to us on the podcast. We need to rack up the numbers. And follow us on all our social media handles and News Instanta on Instagram, News Instanta on Facebook, News Instanta 1 on Twitter. So we'll talk again and we'll meet again next week. My name is Nigel Adebowale. And I see you. Thank you very much. Respect. Bye.